Morning. Wow, it's early crowd. It's like good last night, huh? I was literally hanging on every word, huh? So amazing. Can't wait for today. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God and with much amid much opposition. For exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God as witness. Nor do we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to put a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father with his own children, so you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of man, for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering for us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. But we, brethren, having bereft of you for a short while in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan thwarted us. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Amen. For some of you guys that weren't here in the beginning when we went to Thessalonians, this is Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. Let's go through just a really brief overview. And Paul is writing because basically what happens is he sends Timothy along his way while he was in Corinth. When he was in a different place, he sends Timothy about what's going on there. Timothy comes back with just this great news of that the gospel really went forth to the people. They really received the message of God. And so that's basically chapter one that he shares. And he's just so relieved because for some, there's incredible persecution happening here in Thessalonica. And so they meet up in Corinth, and Timothy comes and greets him and tells him all these wonderful things. But he also shares a few concerns that are happening here in Thessalonica. One of the main concerns that's going on right now is that there is an uneasiness and a kind of a laziness about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. It's made them quite lazy. It's made them very unattentive to certain matters. And part of that, too, is not only the natural aspect, but also emotionally, they were very concerned about people that died before Christ or died in Christ. And so there was this, you know, because you're talking about resurrection, and, you know, I guess that was a lot of what Paul's teaching was when he was with the church and they started this church here. And so Paul addresses this, and what's typical of Pauline literature is, we talk about this, right? There's doctrine and then exhortation. In other words, teaching and then how to live this teaching out. What does this teaching mean? How do we work this thing out? Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But this, actually, Thessalonians is a little different. We have now, we have exhortation and really a commendation, and we see Paul really bearing himself. And like in this passage, we see that he describes himself in verse 7. He says, "And we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." And so we see that he comes and he describes himself as this nursing mother, which is really part of the Godhead. And you have to understand that I know that God is Father and all these things, but the reality is that God is neither male nor female. And so God is both. And I remember years back, I was at some meeting somewhere, and it was a male that was speaking, and he started talking about the character of God and who he is and all these things. And he just reminded us, and he said something that always stuck with me. And he asked the people, and you know, most of the people in there were leaders, and they asked the question, how many of you here have ever been discipled by a woman? Like in a group of about 500 people, two hands went up. I mean, intentionally discipled by a female. And then he looked at us, and just very stern eyes, but I mean, not angry or anything like that, but just looked straight at our hearts, and he says, you know, the reality is you could be missing out on half of the image of God. And I sat there, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty profound to think about this. And we don't want to get ourselves in a way that we get too male-dominated in biblically. There is revelation, yes, but there's also of the Father, but there's also revelation in Scripture as God is our mother. You know, don't worry, we're not going to at SP start singing, Mother, we adore you, and that's not our thing, you know. But there should be a reality for us that we do look at the mother, I almost said mother nature of God, but that's a loaded term, but the motherness of God. And Paul is expressing this. He proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly cares for his own children. And then he later talks about this aspect of he's the father. You know, he's the stern father that also helps us, you know, in the things that are going on. And so Paul begins to share a lot about himself and what's happening. Chapter 2, is an exhortation to them about what's going on. He's talking about his ministry, the establishment of the church. And he says in the beginning of verse 1, for you yourselves know that our coming to you was not in vain. That there was a purpose. And there seemed to be incredible opposition even when he started the church here in Thessalonica. I wish I had more time to go in depth of why that is. But we see here that not only in the beginning he talks about this, but even at the end of chapter 2, he says that they tried to come to you more than once. He's talking about him and Timothy, and twice they were thwarted by Satan. So there is an extreme amount of warfare that's going on here in this locale. I mean, there's something that God is doing with his people. But even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of difficulties and trials and all kinds of stuff, they receive the gospel with joy. They receive the gospel with great care. And when you think about this, we look at something like this and we think, wow, how amazing. But you know, when you really think about it, isn't that just really natural? Don't most people receive the gospel when they're in distress? I know my dad did. You know, when life was great, he has no need for God whatsoever. And then as soon as distress comes upon him, or I shouldn't say as soon because, you know, people get to be quite stubborn. But it follows the pattern that we go through difficulties, we go through trials, and that's the time that we come to the end of our own and we realize, oh my goodness, we need God. I can't handle this ourselves. You know, I can't handle this on my own strength, on my own power, by my own will. And we reach out to a God. Well, hopefully we reach out to a God. We know the exact other thing happens as well. People totally revile God, you know, in these situations. And so he's telling them, he says, you know, in verse 2, but we already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, but we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in amid much opposition. That the word there is the word struggle and conflict. There was so much going on, but they still came and shared the gospel. And they share with a pure heart. So he's really talking about his ministry to the church there. With a pure heart, approved by God, entrusted with the gospel, speaking not to please man, but to please God and for people to examine our hearts. This is really a great exhortation on preaching. You know, if you ever get a chance to preach the word of God, If you ever get the opportunity to share either on a Sunday, you know, or in your house church, or, you know, whatever it may be, whatever setting, but you have an opportunity to share the gospel, the word of God with people, don't do it for the hearing of the people. You know what I mean? Don't do it, you know, they'll talk about, don't do it to tickle someone's ears. I had a mentor of mine say this to me quite early on in my preaching ministry. And he said, Sam, don't preach to impress, preach to impact. And it always stuck with me. You know, don't preach to impress, preach to impact. And so sometimes, you know, to be impactful, sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit. You know, and I know I've done my share of beating sheep, and I know that, right? And, but there's something about wanting to please God instead of please man. You know, I think we've sat under enough teaching in our lifetime, you know, where we hear people and they just, quite obvious, they just want to please man. They want to entertain and do these type of things. They don't want to confront people. You know, I mean, one of the largest churches in the United States, right, is a guy, I'm not going to say the guy's name and you know why you bring this up, but he doesn't say anything negative about anything. It's just smiles and just says, yeah, you have a wonderful life. You know, Jesus, and you just enjoy a wonderful life. You know, and I'm like, dude, where's the gospel? You know, I mean, that's part of it, but you got to share the full picture of it. You know, and maybe we should just erase this from the thing I realized. And it says in verse 5, for we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness. So I didn't come to entertain. You know, I didn't come to get wealthy, Paul's saying. You know, I came for God. I came for the gospel. This should be the heart of every minister. You know, and he says, nor do we seek glory from men. You know, it wasn't, you know, to puff myself up or these things. You know, either from you or from others, even those apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority. You know, I mean, I could extract, you know, that from you, but that's not his goal. But we prove gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having a fond affection for you. We're well pleased to impart to you, and not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you've become very dear to us. This aspect of this of Paul and his guys came to not just be stern and be truthful and to really lay the gospel, but to impart something. You know, just to really, you know, I was going home last night, and I was just so full from last night's service, and you know, as I had a little difficult time falling asleep because I was so excited, and couldn't wait for today. And then it just, one of the thoughts that dawned on me is, man, I think the reason why I feel so joyful, the reason why I feel so relaxed and, you know, and so full of God is I received an impartation last night. That's what I felt. I received an impartation from Lauren. And Lauren displayed the Christian life and the way it should be lived. That's adventure-filled. It's fun. It's exciting. He made the Christian life just so enjoyable, you know. And I left that place just feeling so joyful and so excited in my Christian life and what I get to do for God, and not a burden, you know, not something. Oh man, I got to do this, or God asked me. It was like, oh yeah, okay, God, what are you going to speak? Speak something crazy, you know? Let's do it, kind of thing. And I realized, my goodness, that was an impartation. One of the girls came up to me at the book table yesterday, and this particular girl is usually quite stoic, you know, more like kind of on the downside, you know. She's not a downer, nothing like that, but her demeanor is more melancholy, you know, just kind of like gloomy kind of thing. And she came up to me, and she was like beaming, you know, smiling. I mean, just like ear to ear. And I was like, I didn't say what's going on with you, you know, but I was thinking, what's going on with you? And she replies, he was so full of joy, you know, that he just made me happy. There was just something, and I realized, man, you just received an impartation. It was a you know, as you share, a spiritual transaction took place there, right? That's why you can't get that on the internet, man. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't get that listening to a message. There's something about proximity and atmosphere. And you just felt it. You know, I hope I wasn't the only one. Amen? Do we all agree? There was something in the atmosphere, and it was an impartation. And I realized that's Paul. Paul says, I came not just to teach you. I came not just to minister. I came to impart something to you. You know, there was a spiritual transaction. That's why I'm trying to go out of my way to come to you. You know, and then later on, he'll talk about this. He'll talk about imparting a spiritual gift and giving part of his life to them. It's this impartation. Right? I mean, I'm so pumped up for the rest of this day, you know, and then on Sunday. And we get to experience that. And Paul says, man, this is what I did. I imparted to you something. There's something powerful about what he's doing. And then it kind of continues on. I'm kind of running out of time, so I don't want to get so much. But he's just talking about the difficulties that they're going through their own countrymen, you know, the other leaders, the Jews, that were really trying to do something. And then let me touch on something real quick. In verse 13, and for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. All right, there's something about the preached word. There's something about the rhema of God. You know, the word of God is the Bible, but that's fleshed out in our own lives, and it comes out as anointing. You know, Lauren mentioned, right? Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. And there's something powerful about coming into to the house of God or to a house church when there's the preaching of God's word. It has an effect. It does something. You know, the Bible tells us that his word does not return void. What that means is that when God speaks his word, that it's going to fulfill its mission and its purpose. It's going to do what it was intended to do. There's something powerful about the word of God, about the word living in our lives, and something happens. Listen, I know for a lot of times we do things out of habit, you know, and early morning prayer is a good habit. I mean, if you think about that, it is a good habit to have. Sometimes it's not so easy to get up. I understand that. You know, we go through different ebbs and flows in our seasons, but there's something about that discipline. But you recognize every time you come, not just a morning prayer, but the service and whatnot, and the preaching of the word is happening, something is moving in your heart, in your spirit. Something of your life is being touched. We might not know the fullness of what that means in our life, but something of God is stirring something in us. The Holy Spirit is taking the word of God and just brooding it inside of us, and something is happening. There is an effect that's going on. He says, and which also performs its work in you who believe. And you come to this place and you receive the message. You know, I mean, there is a way that you can have the word and you cannot, you know, receive it. The idea of you don't believe it. You know, not necessarily believing it, you reject the principles, but you cannot receive it in your heart. And then it just bounces off you. I mean, I don't know exactly how that works. But you recognize that when you believe, when you receive the message of God, it does a work in your life. Something powerful happens. I mean, something powerful really happens. I've been realizing that I listen to myself talk too much these days, and I realize, you know what, I need to just sit under some good preaching, you know, just the word of God. And so, you know, every day I've been listening, you know, while I'm doing my work, I've been listening to messages in the office, you know, I just feel so jazzed up, there's a few things, people out there, I mean, thank God for the internet. You know, there's some very bad things about the internet. There's some very good things about the internet, you know, and incidentally, let me just say this little quick note. Don't believe everything you read on the internet, okay? You know, and actually, if you go up Lauren Cunningham, and you can find all kinds of very, very bad things about him. Don't believe anything don't believe everything you read on the internet, right? And most of those guys are losers anyway, and things. And you know, because Matthew 18 says that you should confront the person, not just put something on a blog or something. It's just so weeny, man. It just bothers me to no end. You know, I mean, who are these people that can say and write these kind of things for no reason? And so you got to be very careful. And so let me go back to this. So the internet could be very good. And in that, right, I just feel, because it's the Word of God doing something inside my own heart. There's something about that. Another very good habit for you to have is a quiet time. And some of us, you know, it's difficult. We don't have time and whatnot. But when you absorb the Word of God and you're in your secret place and the Word of God is, and you're wrestling with the Word of God, it's doing something in you. These are very, very good habits to have. You know, as well as eating right, exercising, sleeping well. You know, those are all very good habits. But, man, listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, there's something powerful, you know, that happens as a result. And then let me close with this thought. And so he tells him, you know, we want to come to you, all these dangers, we're desiring to see you. Satan thwarted us. I mean, we can go on about that, but let me get to the point. Verse 19, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. The Bible talks about five specific crowns or rewards. One of them actually is called a wreath, but you know, it's still a crown. And so there's five specific crowns or rewards that God gives to the church, gives to individuals operating in the church. There's all different ones. And so he touches on one, and trust me, by the time we finish this, we'll go through all five. So I don't need to necessarily spend time to talk about all of them right now. But if you're curious, talk about the crown of life. Talks about the crown of exaltation, we'll talk about here, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the wreath imperishable. And so let's talk about the crown of exaltation for a moment. He says that you are a crown of exaltation. The crown of exaltation is known as a soul winner's crown. This is the reward that you receive from God at his coming when you share your life, when you share the gospel with other people, and you win people's souls. This is, in the kingdom of God, this could very well be the greatest gift that you can offer any person on the face of this planet, eternal life. And he calls it the crown of exaltation. Paul says, you are a crown, you are a joy, you are a hope, you are a glory. There's something about God in the way that he loves the world so much. You know, I mean, if you think, if God loves us so much, we should just die. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, if you get saved, you should just die immediately. But we don't. We're left on this planet for a period of time to do something. And that's primarily to win the lost. As a pastor, Che, he said this one time, really, really caught me. You know, and he said, for the rest of our lives, you know, for eternity, we're going to grow in knowledge. For eternity, we're going to grow in intimacy with God. You know, for eternity, we're going to worship the Lord. For eternity, we're going to fellowship with one another. He says, for eternity, we're going to do all these things. And he says, but we only have one lifetime to win the lost. And we think about all these things in church that we give ourselves to, which is good things, worship, fellowship, you know, growing in wisdom, intimacy, all these things. But he says, we only have one lifetime to win the lost. And that really struck me. And I realized, yeah, this is our purpose. And the reward of living out of that purpose is the crown of exaltation. There's going to come a moment in time, you know, and I say this, and I kind of joke around, but I'm actually quite serious. You know, there comes a moment in time, and not that we do it for the rewards or whatnot, but a moment in time where there's going to be recognition. Believers, we pass through judgment, you know, but there's going to be a recognition of our labor on this earth for the kingdom of God. You know, and I say this many times, you know, as in this church as a pastor. My goal, listen, my goal as a senior leader of this church is not for you to be so comfortable on this earth. If you are, I mean, that's great. I'm not going to mean I'm going to try to make you miserable, right? But the goal of my life, the goal of this ministry is when you get to meet Jesus. Is that moment of eternity when you get to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and he just puts crown upon crown upon crown upon crown on your head and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. And in that moment of time, I'm telling you, I had a vision when I was in Africa of this exact scenario. I talked about it many times. I don't have time right now. I had this incredible, open vision. I've never really had this kind of open vision before. I had this open vision in this mud hut church in Mozambique. And I was on my knees, and I saw this picture. Lord put crown upon crown. You know, and my goal is, you know, say you need to work your necks out. You need thick necks, because there's going to be so many crowns that come over your head, and just crown after crown. And I just saw this picture. As soon as that happened, I just got up from a knelt position, and I just began to take each of the crowns and just throw it at Jesus' feet. And I remember in this vision, I was just saying, Jesus, you are worthy to receive. The crown wasn't for my glory. It wasn't, so I just pat myself on the back and say, oh, Sam, you did a great job on earth. The crown was that another moment of eternity where we get to throw all those things. You know, the Bible talks about casting our crowns before the Lord. We get to throw all these things at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, you are worthy to receive. Lord, I gave up that vacation to minister. God, you are worthy. There is no sacrifice. I gave up this job, Lord, to do this, you know, or, you know, I didn't do this, God, you know, and so on and so forth. There'll be no sacrifice. There'll be in comparison to that moment of time where we get to cast our crowns and say, Jesus, you're worthy. Listen, there's no amount of money that can pay for something like that. There's no amount of time that can compare to that moment of eternity. And that's why we're living. It's this crown of exaltation. Paul recognizes it. He says, you are a crown. And when Jesus comes on that day, when that crown gets on, and the crown is you. You know, and honestly, I can't wait till I get to heaven. You know, I mean, I can wait, but you know what I mean. You know, and I get to that place, and then just see the impact of our life. Not because of what we've done, but what Christ has done through us, imputed into our lives. And crown after crown, we just get to throw it at his feet. The ultimate act of worship. And say, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive. That's a life well spent. What profits a man if he should gain the whole world, and yet forfeit his soul? And we are living in Hong Kong, and we're living our lives primarily for us. And we are living our lives based on what we want to do and all these things. And that's why it's so refreshing when we have a man like Lauren Cunningham come into our community, a man that lives for God and the gospel and that alone. You know, just amazing. We get to receive that impartation. Let's just close our eyes. A real deep soul searching this morning. What are you living for right now? I think about the prostitute that came to Jesus, knelt at his feet, broke open a very, very costly jar of perfume, a whole year's wages. We put it on our terms, right? I mean, that's a $60,000 bottle of perfume, U.S. And people look at that and say, man, what a waste. What a waste of a year's wages. And Jesus says, no, leave her alone. You have no idea what she did. What she did is going to be talked about for the rest of the ages. See, we live too much on the standards of the world. In the world's standards, that's a waste. In God's standards, that's extravagant love. God's calling us to something deeper. Let's no longer live out of the foundations of this world, but let's live out of that place of God's heart. Paul says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, I get so sad when I see my brothers and sisters, you know, either one time just passionate for God, and then they got into the rat race, and they turned into a rat. And forgot all the wonderful things that God had purposed in their lives. Well, the story is not over. God is still writing on our hearts. I want to encourage you this morning. I know this is pretty serious for a morning, but I invite you to give your life to the Lord again. Commit yourself to the kingdom of God once again. It's not about you. It's about Him. Just begin to go through your life in areas that it's been about you. We hold on to grudges too much. We hold on to unforgiveness too much. We hold on to what we want too much. Let me invite you to give your life to Jesus again. Let's sing and pray together.
Your light will shine when all else fades.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the community around us. Let's pray that God would absorb, literally absorb every part of our life. That we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, every part of it. That we would live not for ourselves, but that we would live for Him. That He would be our joy. He would be our life. And let's pray. Let's really go before the Lord this morning. Let's call out to Him. Let's cry out to Him. Let's give Him, let's dedicate our life once again to Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Oh, let's ask God's hand to be with our friends, our family members that are going through severe illnesses, cancer, going through chemotherapy or need of transplant. Oh, let's cry out to God for a healing word, for the availability of the bone marrow match and things like that. Let's just really pray that God would move on their behalf. Let's pray for ones that are ill but that need that word of salvation more than anything else, that they would get saved and delivered. Oh, let's lift them up. Let's pray for others in our community that are going through different sicknesses. Let's ask God to heal them as well. Thank you. Let's pray for our friends in our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God to open doors for them. Let's pray that in their time right now, they will use their time wisely and that God would encourage them and they would really grow and learn even in the midst of joblessness. Let's pray for God to work supernaturally in their lives. Pray for our community. Let's lift up this weekend before the Lord. And today, this morning, Lauren is meeting with our missions committee and sharing with them. In the afternoon at lunch, there's two people that came with Lauren, a guy named Doug Fierce, and he's a retired CEO of a large energy company, and our marketplace ministry is having lunch with him actually here at the square. I think anyone's invited to come, but you just need to RSVP with Will, and he's just going to share about ministry in the marketplace and bringing faith into the workplace. And so that's coming up. We have 2 o'clock service today with Lauren, and Doug's going to share a little bit where he's going to talk about the 7 spheres of influence, or what they call 7 mountains, and how we can impact the world around us. And then tonight is our service with Lauren, as well as our 2 Sunday services, and pray for Noah's Ark, pray for the youth group. We have EG today as well. This afternoon, and then our Friday night, we moved it to Monday, so we have EG on Monday as well. And so let's pray for this weekend, and pray for God's hand to be with us. Pray for just the preaching of the word, that really life would happen inside of us as God's word is delivered and is received by the people of God. So let's just lift up this weekend before the Lord. Let's just pray over our ministries, particularly our community outreach. Pray for all the volunteers of Agape, the homeless ministry, and the Wan Chai Red Light District outreaches. Pray that God will continue to open doors, bring more people together. Pray for Pastor Sophia. She's on her break right now back in Australia. Pray for a good rest. Pray that as she leads the ministry, that she would lead with boldness and with great care. Pray for all the volunteers that they would just continue to love God and love others. Spend this time. Let's pray for Lauren. Let's pray for his knee. I don't know if you noticed him limping around. His knee is really bad. Let's ask God to heal him while he's here in Hong Kong. He's going to Nepal right after this. Let's ask the Lord to continue to move on him. And as he shares the word of God today and tomorrow, let it be even more sharper than it was last night. Let there be such a grace on him to share God's messages for us, and that revelation would come. Let's just lift him up for the rest of this weekend. Let's pray for a house church meeting today, Bel Air and Mac Daddy. And let's ask God's hand to be with them. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would lead in each of the meetings, that they would receive something from God during this time. And let's also pray for Cascade, their ministry on Monday night and today. Let's pray that the Word of God and a real grace for healing would happen over them. So let's pray. We thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your word that has life. Lord, that when the preached word comes to us, Lord, and as we receive it in faith, God, as we believe, Lord, something happens in us, Lord. God, and so we just cover this whole weekend, God, not just here at this church, God, but churches all over Hong Kong, God, all over this world. God, at every pulpit, Father, let the word of God be preached boldly. God, let life happen through the preaching of your word, Lord. We just thank you, God, just for what you're doing in our midst, Father. And we pray, God, that you would draw more and more people to this place, God, that would receive what you have for them. We thank you. Watch over us today as we continue to pray, as we continue to seek your face, God, and as we receive, God, from the man of God. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, God. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great time of prayer. We'll see you later on. During our services, bless you.